is on the screen. And today I'm going to do something a little differently. I'm not going to pull one particular text. I'm going to talk about a principle that is designed to bless every person. Let me say this before I even get into anything. Hold that screen right there. I am not a money preacher. I am a righteousness preacher, a relationship preacher. If you do not believe me, you can check every message I've preached since I started preaching in 1996. I have preached very few messages that deal with money or giving. Very, very few. I normally will preach in Spirit of God maybe one message a year. Now, that is not because I'm afraid to. It's because if you are in a right relationship with God, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, the giving piece takes care of itself. Amen? So I don't have to stand up here and beat up on you about that. Now, my approach has always been, since I've been pastor in this church, that if I have a need in this church, I'm not going to stand up here and cry poor mouth and beg you. Because everybody in this room has limited funds. At some point, your bank account will get to zero. Amen? If I have a need in this place, I have a relationship with God. And I will go and ask God for it, and God will put upon the hearts of God's people what needs to be done and what needs to be met. Now, let me tell you why I do it that way. Because at that point, then God is obligated to bless the giver, and God is the one who gets glory in it all. It teaches me to never get caught up in relying on human beings, but to always get caught up in relying on my God. So that is one of the things and one of the reasons why I do that. Now, so I got a couple of things I want to put up here on the screen first. Well, my title today is The Blessings of Tithing and Giving. Okay? Now, understand that I'm after what it says here, the blessings of tithing and giving. I mean, I didn't say the strain, right? I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to deal with some stuff today in a very practical manner, okay? Now, this may convict some of you. It may challenge some of you. It may do all of that. But the bottom line, please understand that the reason why this message is coming, and let me make note, offering has already been taken up. So I'm not playing the game that some preachers play, that I'm going to preach this and then I'm going to take up offering because you feel guilty. All right? Amen? Amen. Y'all need to thank me. You know what? You know, one of these days when I'm dead and gone, amen, when I'm resting in the bosom of Abraham, y'all will say, you know what? He was a pretty good pastor. I'm going to tell you right now, take them flowers to somebody else. Don't even bring them to the funeral. You should have told me while I was alive. Amen. All right. So today I had a couple of little warnings. All right. So today I'm going to say this. Pull this one up for me. Thank you. Today is about a principle that was created to bless us with more and honor God at the same time. Many people want to be blessed with increase. Amen. They want to have increase in their lives, but not the way God wants to do it. All right. Now, here's my warning to you. So I got to give this to you. Warning. When you start to operate in this principle in your life, tithing and giving, the enemy will attack your finances. And that is designed to stop you from doing and operating in the principle. And this will mess you up a little bit. And God will allow it for a time. The reason why is to see if you will trust him through it. So please understand, I know that many of you will say, that's not inviting. Well, I understand it's not inviting, but it's still a command. It's still a principle, and you have to understand the goal of the principle is to bless you with more. Please understand that. I'm going to show it to you, and the reason why I didn't even just pull just a regular text and go from there is because today we're going to walk through this word, and I'm going to show this to you so that you can be blessed. For those of you who already have attitude, let me ask you something. If you went to a seminar on how you could increase in your career, you sit there on the edge of your seat. If somebody told you how you could increase in your life and it was not biblical, you sit there on the edge of your seat. If I had Susie Orman come in here and talk to you about money, you'd be all right about that. But we're going to talk about it from the word. Amen? And please understand, well, I'm going to deal with that. Okay. Let me say this. In the church, the enemy and some people, both pastors and parishioners, have made a fundamental kingdom principle a no-no in the church. However, the Bible and God speak clearly of its benefits, blessings, and its beauty throughout Scripture. Therefore, today, I just come to teach a true biblical principle that will transform your life and your walk with God. Spirit of God, this year, God has promised to show himself big on our behalf, so it is appropriate that we examine the blessings
of tithing and giving? First of all, first question, right off the bat, I'm just going to give it to you. What is a tithe versus an offering? Leviticus 27, verse 30, please. See, some of these are the questions that I often get asked. And so I'm going to address those, deal with those, then I'm going to deal with some of these myths about this giving thing. And then I'm going to talk to you about what it is, what it means, and how you get there. All right? So today, I'm just telling y'all right now, for those of you who are feeling uncomfortable, please understand I'm giving you basically a series of messages in one Sunday. So I'm just wiping away the spirit of saying, I knew I should have stayed in bed today because I did not want to hear this. No, today is like a 4-for-1. I'm just telling. All right. So what is a tithe and an offering? Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So first of all, a tithe is something that is holy to God. Now, understand that because it's not talking about money does not necessarily mean that it does not apply today. These were the mediums of exchange for goods and services and things of value at the time that the scripture was written. All right? So verse 31, if a man redeems any of his tithe, he must add a fifth value of to it. The entire tithe of the herd and flock, every what? Tenth animal that passed under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. All right? Okay. So let me go to verse 33 still. He must not pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. If he does make a substitution, both the animal and the substitute become holy and cannot be redeemed. These are the commands the Lord God gave Moses, Mount Sinai, for the Israelites. Now, please understand, if you ever get a chance to read Malachi chapter 1, what he's saying is, you can't bring me something bad. Can I make it 2014? You give God what's owed to him, not what's left over. Amen. Amen. Somebody give you some worn shoes. Somebody have Merry Christmas. You got a straight attitude. You're like, man, I saw you wear the shoes. Right? These left. Oh, you got new. You wearing the new shoes and you gave me. God said, oh, I see. This is how we doing it then. Okay. You keeping the raise and giving me what is after what you spent. What is a tithe versus an offering? An offering, let me explain this too, is a gift. The tithe is covenant obligations. The offering is a gift to show love. Can I put it in real terms for you? Patricia and I are married. So part of our covenant is that what I earn and what she earns goes to pay household bills. That's the obligation. Y'all quiet on me. The offering is if I come home with something extra or she comes home with something extra. Just to say I love you, right? So here's the thing: bills got to be paid first. I'm going somewhere. The tithe has to be paid first. See, really, you don't have a true offering without a tithe, because the offering is over and above. Now let me, if I can, just dispel a little bit. You got to understand that the tithe belongs to God. The offering is in addition to the tithe. Over and above. Y'all still with me? Okay. Next question. Why do I do it? The reason why I do it is because God commands and challenges us to do it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, please. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. And y'all know I'm going to have to stay here for a little bit. I mean, I'll come back in here in just a little bit. But why is it that I do it? Because I don't want to put myself in a position to be accused rightfully of robbing God, right? But I also want to put myself in a position to where I'm being blessed by God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 very simply says, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? Now, I know the Bible is hard to read. Theologically deep. Hebrew and Greek. I don't understand. I speak English. That's like somebody coming to your house and say, now you robbed me. How did I rob you? You took my jewelry. Specifics. Okay. Verse 9, you are under a curse, the whole nature of you. Why? Because you're robbing me. Now here's the challenge. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Look at what God says here. Here's the challenge. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you will not have enough room for it. So why is it that I tithe? It's because it takes me from being cursed to being blessed. It takes me from being a robber to being a giver. All right? Next question. Where am I to do it? Now, I got a real piece. Now, in Malachi 3:10, you don't have to go back there. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so there may be meat where? In my house. That's where you're supposed to bring it. I'm going to talk about something here in just a minute, but I want to show you something first in Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 4. Because a lot of times people get confused about this tithe thing, where I'm supposed to bring it. And even in my notes, I put in parentheses, not where I determine, but where God determines. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 4, because I want the word to be the piece that handles this. All right, it says, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way. He's talking to the Israelites when they're going into pagan land. And by the way, that right there will preach on its own. Because we're not to worship the Lord the way other folk tell us how to worship the Lord. Amen. All right. Verse 5, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings, sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. So what it's saying is that you are to seek the Lord on where you are to give it. Right? And that's the place you're making your sacrifice. All the stuff you're making unto the Lord, though. All right, there in the presence of the Lord, your God, you and your family shall eat and rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord, your God, has blessed you. You are not to do as we do here today, as everyone sees fit. Not for you to choose where you're going to put your tithe, because it belongs to the Lord. Go down to verse 11. Same one, Deuteronomy chapter 12. It says, then to the place the Lord, your God, will what? Choose. As a dwelling for his name, if his name ain't on it. There you are to bring everything I command you. Bring what? Your burnt offerings, your sacrifice, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. I've taught my folks here in this church that when God says something more than one time, he really, really, really means it. He says it in the span of about 7 verses, the same thing twice. So here's what I mean by where am I to do it. Many people will say, well, I'm going to give, but I'm going to give to the Children's Hospital of Atlanta. Malachi didn't say that's where you're supposed to put it. I'm not saying that that's not a good organization. I'm not saying that's not a good cause. What I am saying is you don't get to determine that. Let me give you an analogy on that. So I go home to Patricia, and I say, now, rather than my money coming into the house to handle bills, it's a nice family up the street with some kids. I'm going to give them the obligation money that belongs in this household. I'm going to give it to them because I think that would be a nice thing to do. Let me ask you a question. Your spouse come home and say that. How that's going to go with you? I know y'all holy, but, you know, come on, for real? All God is saying is, now, wait a minute. Hold on. What you look like giving mine to somebody else without my authority and my approval? Amen. Okay. See, what you give to other causes is really you can give an offering in the name of the Lord out of love as a gift. Amen? But the tithe is holy, belongs to the Lord in a place where his name is. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all responding. Oh, I am. I ain't worried about it because you know what? The angels are dancing right now, even if y'all aren't. All right, so I want to go and deal with a couple of things here real quick about this. What are the issues or myths surrounding tithing and giving? I know y'all don't said this before. All right, first of all, it's an Old Testament principle, and I'm a New Testament Christian. Now, I know y'all heard it before because, you know, I went to Malachi. I went to Leviticus. That's Old Testament pastor. I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm under grace. That's the law. I'm under grace. You need to read your Bible, pastor. No, you missed something. Matthew 23:23. Now, last time I checked, Matthew was in the New Testament. Last time I checked, in my Bible, if it's red, that means Jesus said it. Y'all with me? Okay. So Matthew 23:23 is in red, and it's in the New Testament. What does it say here? It says, woe to you, teachers of the law, and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth. Now, in the King James, it says you pay tithe. So if y'all want to just check that out. It says you give a tenth, which we already said what a tenth was, of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. Again, valuable things that were designed to be a part of the offering piece or something that was given. Y'all still with me? But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Now look at what Jesus says here at the end. You should have practiced the latter, which is what? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former. So in the New Testament, what he is saying is you should still bring your tithe and you should operate in justice, mercy, and faithfulness. That's New Testament. So even if I don't go to Malachi or Leviticus, right, it's still New Testament principle. So the next time somebody tell you that's an Old Testament principle, tell them they need to read their Bibles. Amen. All right. Okay. Next question. I earn my wealth of money by my own power. Thus it is mine to do with as I please. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. Oh, I'm going to walk the scripture today. I came up here fully expecting for my amens to be about from here to right there. I'm good this morning because you know what? Here's the thing. I can stand on my record. I can stand on my credibility and my integrity on the fact that I don't come in here and beg y'all for money and beat y'all over the head and tell you that you're not giving. I don't do that. What I'm trying to do today is put you in a position of blessing. Now, if Oprah stood up here and told you that, if Bill Gates stood up here and told you that, then you would be all on it. But let me say this. Your Savior telling you to do it, and all of a sudden you got an attitude. I'm just saying, in the midnight hour, call Oprah. Call Bill Gates. When you can't find a way out of no way, see if you can get a hold of him. When your body is racked with pain, y'all gonna make me hoop in here. Call them. All right. Now I'm not even that preacher either. All right. So I gotta teach y'all the word. All right. So for those of you who believe that you earn your wealth or your own power, and it's mine to do with as I please. Now, yes, you do have free will choice, but I just want to remind you of something. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. God was expecting that to say, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. God said, just in case you got it twisted. We said this on Bible study the other night. All these folk that want to take a sabbatical from the Lord. Suppose God just took a sabbatical from your heart beating. Suppose God took a sabbatical from some oxygen getting to you. Right. Or in this case here, it's mine. I'm going to do what I want to. God said, okay, that's fine. You go ahead and do what you want to do. But you better read Haggai 1 and 2. Because God said, you brought it home, but I blew it away. God said, if we want to play this game, we can do that. Trust me, you're going to lose. All right. Number three question. God would rather I pay my bills first. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Y'all got to let me hold on that because I got a point I'm going to make with that. I hear this one all the time. No, and can I just give y'all a precursor? Here's what God would rather you do, not have them bills. Because some of them bills are self-inflicted. Okay. Okay. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the what? First fruits of all your crops. But look at what God, now listen, God said, honor me first. But look at what I'm going to do when you honor me first. Then your barns will be filled to what? Overflowing, and your vats will brim over, that means more than enough, with new wine. God said, if I'm first, watch for the outpouring from me. Amen. All right, I'm keep going. Next question. I'm going to come back to that bill thing, though, in a minute. When I have it, I'll give it. Oh, yeah. I hear that all the time. Well, when I got it, I'll give it to you. Okay. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. It's interesting. Says real simple. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. See, the saying that, well, when I got it, I give it to you, is an absolute lie. Just stop saying that because you're sinning when it's coming out your mouth. Let me tell you why. Because it's been in your hand. I said this, and y'all, this going to get real tight. Everybody who earns an income or has an income coming in has a tithe. But if you have not given it, that's your choice. So in other words, the tithe came. What you choose to do with it, you have chosen to do something other than what God has said do with it. But what God says is, if I can't trust you with that, amen. And the reason why he said dishonest is because you're not giving me what's owed to me. You're withholding what's owed to me. If you're dishonest in little, you'll be dishonest in much. Amen? I know it's tight, but it's still right, though, because it's biblical. That's why I'm going to every scripture. Y'all ain't going to put this on me. Amen? You know what? This is what I'm doing. I'm just taking the word, and I'm giving it to you. That's between now. It's between you and God. All right, last one. Last issue or myth around tithing and giving. God doesn't need my money. Besides, this is all about the church and the preacher getting my money. Let me say this real quick. The preacher and his wife work. Let me say that. Okay? Now, and I'm going to say this, and I mean this as serious as I can. A lot of folk don't like preachers to have nothing. But here's all I'm going to say to you this. If you want what I got, do what I did. That'll rest a little. I know y'all that'll hit you about Wednesday. Amen. Because see, some folk in here beg God, some folk listening, beg God to never allow them to be in the pulpit or to be a pastor. Oh, Lord, I pray to the Lord. I ask the Lord, never let me do that. But then you're coming against me because God blessed in my life. Oh, and by the way, preacher and his wife are tithers. So I work, and what I work and earn, I give to God. So if God is blessing me and my wife's life, why are you mad? Let me say this, but let me go to a principle here real quick. God doesn't need my money. Besides, it's all about the church preacher getting my money. Let me say this to you. Tithing and giving is about faith and obedience, not money. Let me tell you why it's not money. Because in Leviticus, it was talking about animals. In Matthew, it was talking about spices and valuables. So it wasn't about the money. It's about faith and obedience. And I'm going to give y'all probably the hardest line I can give you on tithing and giving. And it's hard, but it's true. If you are not tithing or not giving to God like you're supposed to, it simply means you don't trust God enough. I know that's tight. I know that's hard, but I love you. But I'm just telling you the truth. I got to give it to you that way because the bottom line, that means you just don't trust God enough. All right. Okay. All right. Now, let me keep going. To be a true giver, there's a couple things I have to understand that I need to have. I'm going to get through this today. So if y'all got to sit a little bit, then oh well. Amen. Y'all don't mind if Oprah run over or whoever, whatever show you're watching run over. Y'all don't mind that. I'm trying to get you blessed. I'm trying to get, everybody want to come up. Here to come up right here. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. All right, to be a true giver, I must first have the right posture. In other words, I got to get my mind right. I got to get my attitude fixed and straight. I have to have the right posture when it comes to giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. Emery, if you would, please, sir. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. I'm going to talk to you about a scripture because I know I hear this one too a lot with folk, but they don't understand. All right. Have the right posture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, here's the reason what I need for you to understand. You got to have the right posture. That I'm going to give cheerfully. I'm not going to give grudgingly. I'm not going to give, mad about it. Daring God. God, you better show up because I did this. No. God said, I don't want it like that. Now, that does not negate, because I hear people all the time is, well, God said, I'm supposed to give what's in my heart. But that is in connection to the command that has already been given. So, in other words, God is saying you should obey the command cheerfully. Y'all still with me? And just for simple math, in verse 6, he was just letting you know, if you're so sparingly, you're going to get sparing blessings. But if you sow generously, you will get generous blessings. Amen. Okay. It's real simple. See, I'm not even going to nothing theologically deep where I got to go to different languages and all this. This is real plain English. All right? Get your posture right. Number two, to be a true giver, have to understand the natural and supernatural principles at work. In that 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you don't have to stay there. But it goes on, it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that in all things, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He even talks about it, he'll supply seed to the sower. So once I start to sow, God begins to sow. But the scripture I want to go to right here is that you have to understand natural and supernatural principles at work. So let me say this to you, Proverbs 11:24. But let me say this to you real quick. Tithing and giving will never make mathematical sense on paper. 2 + 2 does not equal 4 when it comes to tithing and giving. So if you're looking at it from just a logical reason standpoint, it won't work. That's why I told you it's about faith and obedience. Let me show it to you right here, Proverbs 11:24, real simple. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. That doesn't make sense. How do I give away and get more? That doesn't make logical sense. Yet, then another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. King James says come to nothing. So okay, wait a minute. Y'all got to look at the math. Math says I give away, I should have nothing because I gave it away, right? If I withhold, I should have something because I kept it. But that's logic. In faith and in the spiritual supernatural realm, it's reversed. When I give, I actually end up with more. And when I hold, I actually end up with nothing. Oh, yes, yes. Just look at the neighbor and say, that boy preaching today now. He preaching. Thank you, Norm. Number three, it must be, it, to be a true giver, it must be a priority. All right? It must be a priority. It's amazing to me that many of you are just wonderful, astute people who do marvelous on your jobs. Many of you are very organized. Many of you have everything lined up. You know what your priorities are. You meet your priorities first. You know, you take care of your needs, and then you look at your wants, and you even prioritize your wants as to the order of priority by which you will partake of them. But when it comes to God, it seems like God's an afterthought. Now, I'm going to tell you something. One of the most disrespectful things you can ever do to God is make God feel second fiddle. Amen? I can walk you through our scripture. God don't like that. All right? Okay. So Matthew chapter 6. See, when it's a priority, that means it's in my heart to do it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. When it's in my heart, it's a priority for me to do it. That means I'm going to do it because it's top of my list. Now, I took it to Proverbs 3. It says, honor the Lord, the first fruits of all that increase, right? So, but even in Matthew 6:19 makes it a little bit better. This Jesus talking is New Testament. Do not store for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where your thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, lift your feet up because it's going to get real tight. Anybody can tell where your heart is if they were to look at your bank statement. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can tell where your heart is. Because where your treasure is, where you pouring it out, even if you're saving it, that's where your heart is. But the word, it does not say that you shouldn't have a savings. What it's saying is I shouldn't put my total reliance on my savings. God is, and he said, would say to Abraham, Abraham would refer to God as his surely great reward. In other words, what he was saying was, God, that when all else fails, I know that you're the one that's going to be there. All right? Okay. So to be a giver, to be a true giver, I have to have the right posture, understand the natural, supernatural principles at work, and it must be a priority. Now, let me keep going real quick. Tithing and giving, it teaches me the cost of being a follower of God. Now, I'm using the acronym COST because I want you to see something here, and I'm going to walk through this real quick because I need for you to get this. First of all, tithing and giving, it will teach me the cost of being a follower of God. It means first, it will teach me the commitment because of the covenant that I have. Right? Listen, let me tell you something. I don't spend money that my wife don't know about. We have a covenant relationship. We have a joint bank account. I know that's real taboo. We got married in 91. I understand it's 2014. I understand that. We ain't had no street issues, so we had to, move the money. All right? We still got a joint account. Okay? So even if I want to buy something, or even if I buy something, I might not want to tell her right away. I let her see it. And she'll say, this electronics thing right here, what was that? Well, let me explain to you. I needed this cord for the TV. See how pretty it is? But I knew it was coming. I just had to get myself situated. All right. So again, but because of the covenant with God, when I tithe, it teaches me commitment. Because you cannot give away 10% and make God first without being committed to him. But because you and God are in a covenant relationship, it's not a burden, but a joy. Amen? All right. The next thing is that tithing and giving, it teaches me obedience because of his commands. God commands to tithe. Bring you all the tithing to the storehouse that there shall be meat in my house. Now it teaches me how to obey his command, and it teaches me to do it in faith. All right? Y'all still with me? Okay, but here's probably the major one of this right here. It teaches me stewardship because of his conditions. In other words, it teaches me how to manage the 90%. Here's one of the things that the old church has done and failed many of us. It told us to give 10%, but it did not teach us how to manage the other 90. All right? See, please understand this, and let me say this as lovingly as I can. I know you give God his 10, and you figure the 90 is for me to do whatever I want to do. But if I'm in a covenant relationship, I cannot take our bank account money and just go do whatever I want to go do with it and still end up in covenant relationship. I promise you, she ain't going to stay. All right? So I cannot do that with God. I still ought to be seeking God on what to do with what remains. Here's why. Because God will even bless that. Now, it teaches me stewardship also because once I have given away 10, now I really do have to kind of hunker down a little bit and manage properly what remains. So what it does is it teaches me how to trust and rely and see God. So here's what happens when I tithe. I give away 10%. Now I got 90%. So I do have less than I had before I gave it. But now I have opened up the ceiling so that God can begin to pour in. He promises to pour in blessings that I don't have room enough to receive. So what God then now says, God said, okay, now I can go to work. So now I can open up things and bring you more than that 10% you gave away. But let me say this to you. God don't ever match you dollar for dollar. And you don't want that. All right? You don't want that. See, and here's the other thing about stewardship. The reason why you have to understand it's all God's. And you ought to consult God on what it is that you do with the other 90 is because God is the making creator of all things. And what God has given to you, God is the one who can increase it beyond belief. All right? Okay, so many of you go to financial planners, financial advisors, and all this other kind of stuff, but they ain't make heaven and earth. And let me say this to you. When you go to them, they're going to give you a fee that you're going to pay to them. When you go to God, God will give you an outpouring that you don't have to pay back to him other than the 10% that comes on top of that. Y'all know one of my favorite shows is American Greed. And the reason why I watch this is because it teaches me a whole lot of stuff about money and what to do and what not to do. But here's one thing. As long as I got a calculator and the ability to count, don't nobody else need to count my money. Let me say this, and as long as I got a covenant relationship with God, if I give God his 10, amen, me and God, because I want to see the glory of God with what he does over the 90, amen. All right, okay. Tithing giving, it teaches me the cost of being a follower of God. It also teaches me to trust because of his claims. God said, listen, try me in this. See what I'll do. See what I'll do if I won't open up the windows of heaven. So it teaches me to trust him and trust in his word. And then finally, tithing giving, it teaches me the cost of being a follower of God in that it teaches me sharing because of his charge. Because here's the thing. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 9 piece, it says that God will put seed to the sower so that you can basically continue to do a greater work. So it teaches me to share. See, here's what tithing is. Tithing really is, and I like the way Hank Hanegraaff, Bible Answer Man, says this. It is really the training wheels of being a giver. Because when I begin to tithe and give to God, I see the blessing that comes in, and it delights me to be a giver to try to help others under the authority of God. Because let me say this to you real quick. You can't, and I know it's tight, you can't bless somebody who cursed. There is no amount of money you can give to somebody who is already cursed that it's going to end up being a blessing to them. Amen? So that's why you need to consult God about where you put other things, your offerings and whatnot, because God may be saying, God did this for me with a family member a long time ago. God said, listen, you trying to be me in this situation, and I'm telling you, don't give them money. That's not what they need. I'm working some stuff out between me and them, and you giving them money will destroy what I'm trying to do in them. They need to know to come to me, not to come to you. Amen. All right, so to teach you sharing. All right, my last 3 points. Y'all still being blessed or y'all just mad? All right, okay, either one, whatever. I'm still going to finish. I got 3 points, but I'm going to give it to you. Real quick. I ain't going to even stand the door. Y'all might want to slap me or something before I leave. All right. So here it is. Here's the coup de grace. The blessings of tithing and giving are real simple this, and many people don't see this. Emory, if you would, pull up Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. All right. And I'm going to show this. Well, I'll tell you what. Leave that right there. Leave that right there real quick. I'm going to give you my 3 points, and then I'm going to show them to you in the text. That we'll do it that way. Number one, the blessing of tithing and giving is this. It positions me for countless blessings. It positions me for countless blessings. Not counted, countless. Countless blessings. Which means you cannot put a ceiling on God. We said this year, 2014, God going to show himself big on our behalf. Big, and I told God this, big as you want to make it. I'm not going to put no ceiling on you. All right? Number two, the blessing of tithing and giving, it prevents destruction and devouring while providing a covering for me. All right? So when he would tell the Israelites, your shoes didn't wear out, your clothes didn't wear out, God said, I was preventing some stuff from happening to you. Yeah, I know some of you during the wintertime, the pipes froze and everything like that. But guess what? You didn't end up with a plumbing situation, did you? See, you didn't think God was blessing, but God said, see, the plumbing situation would have wiped you out because that would have been a $3,500 job that you didn't have. But see, nobody come in and shout about that. Amen. All you just wanted is a $3,500 check. God said, well, I did give you a $3,500 check. I gave it to the plumbing man so he didn't have to come out. I'm preaching better than you responding. All right. Number three, it produces perfect timing in my life. As I've always said to my shoppers in here, my shoppers, just say amen. Amen. There it is. I know y'all in here. Yeah. It's one thing to have money to go and the thing ain't on sale. It's another thing to go and not have no money and it is on sale. But perfect timing is when I got a little money in my pocket and it's on sale. That's the perfect time. See, that's the outpouring of God. Because God said, I took the price and I brought it down. And then I took your money and I brought it up and I allowed them to meet together. That's the blessing of God. All right, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. All right, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. I want you to see God's position for countless blessings. He prevents destruction while providing a covering for you. And he produces perfect time in your life. Look at what it says. It says, bring the whole tithe. Did it say half? The whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. What he's saying is that's your countless blessings right there. If you test me in it, God said, I got countless blessings for you. You won't even be able to count them. As a matter of fact, it teaches you, here's the reason why he gives you blessings that you won't have room enough to receive it, because now you're operating in the principle of giving, and so now with the overflow, you don't have an attitude about giving. Verse 11, he says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. You got to understand what that is. He's preventing destruction and devouring by providing a covering for you. So what God says is you got to understand in the agricultural world that your crops meant not only that you ate, but that you could also have money. So God said, I'm going to prevent them from devouring your crops because that would kill your income and what you could eat. God says, so I got a protective covering over what remains. Amen? All right. Now, and then he says, I produce perfect time in your life. And it says here at the very end of verse 11, I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. He said, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit. And the King James says, cast before their time on the vine. What he's saying is, then I will cause timely things to happen in your life. Right? What God says is, the blessing of tithing and giving really is, and when I preached this once before about tithing, my title was An Offer You Can't Refuse. And the truth of the matter is, that's really what it is. It's an offer you can't refuse. Because what God says is, if you just try, now this is me. He didn't say try your pastor. He didn't say try your neighbor. He said try me in this. God says, I'm the one that gave your life. I'm the one that's been sustaining you when you haven't been tithing and giving. Now I'm asking you to try me in this. And here is what I put on the table. God said, I push all my chips into the middle of the table. I promise you that you're going to get abundant, countless blessing. You're going to get protection and provision, preventative maintenance. And then I'm going to produce perfect timing in your life. God said, that's what I put in the middle of the table. All I need for you to do is bet on me. You want to be blessed? You want to come up? You want to have more in your life? Give God what belongs to him. If you do that, God is on the hook to make sure he opens up windows and pours out blessings, prevents things from devouring you, and then produce perfect timing in your life. Y'all stand all over the building.